Awesome. Remain standing with me, please, and turn in your Bible to Psalm 34, 7. Harlow does not have a list again. I'm guessing I'm going to get a talking to here one of these days. Psalm 34, 7. The title of the message is simply Holy Angels. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you. Your word gives us everything we need to know. We're on a need-to-know basis, and what's in there is what we need to know. And I pray, Lord, that as we examine what your word says about angels, Lord, that you would just anoint this message as it goes forth. Help us to see your love in all of it. Hide your servant behind the cross. Once again, we just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Since the beginning of mankind, we have had encounters with beings from the world of the unseen. Angels are mentioned 273 times, 108 times in the Old Testament, 165 times in the New Testament. There's a lot in the Bible about God's holy angels. The Bible has woven into its fabric, its narrative, the reality of spiritual beings. Of course, chief of them would be God. Then there's the holy angels. Of course, we know the Bible talks about Satan and the unholy spirits. One thing we have a hard time comprehending is that the unseen world is all around us, and that it is really more real than the world we live in. Our world is just temporary. The Bible tells us that it was created. Everything around us was part of God's plan, part of His creation. We're kind of latecomers. God's world has been from eternity past and will be for eternity future. And the Bible tells us that this is all going to end. So really, when you stop and think about it, the spiritual realm is more reality than the realm that we live in. Hollywood kind of has a fixation about the spiritual world. How many movies have you seen? I'm not going to say that you've seen the movies, but you've heard of or seen of them. How many movies have you seen or heard about that were about demons? Or devils, or angels, or some other supernatural entity. A lot. Hollywood seems to be fixated with it. I'm going to pick just one movie to use for an example real quickly. Ghost Rider. You ever see that advertisement of this motorcycle that's all on fire and a skeleton riding it that's all on fire? Well, the whole gist of the story is that a man sells his soul to the devil. But I think the way it goes is that somehow he, through his self-will, he's able to turn that around and use the evil for good. That's Hollywood's version. One thing that we know, according to the scriptures, is that unholy spirits will never do holy things. We also know that holy angels will not do unholy things. Heaven's already been purged of the angels that rebelled against God, the ones that are there. They're there because they want to be there, and they are loyal, and they are holy. Several things about angels. It'd be Psalm 148 next. 1 and 2, 5. God created the angels. They're part of His creation. They're part of what He did. And they have several purposes that God created them for. We're going to get to the part where they're created to watch over us here in just a little bit. But angels are a part of creation. Psalm 148 and verse 1. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him from the heights above. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His heavenly hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye shining stars. The angels were created, verse 20 and 21. Yeah. The angels were created partially to praise the Lord. We hear about the choir of angels. And that's not just a fairy tale, that's the real deal. The angels do recite praises to God. You remember in Luke when they sang glory to God. Okay, Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 6. This is part of their creation. The angels are created. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and their starry hosts, the earth, and all that's in it, the seas, and all that's in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. The angels of God, primary purpose, are to worship God. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17. They are worshipers of God. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. Angels were created to be servants of God. I know you're anxious to get to the part where they're created to interact with us, but Psalm 103, verse 20 and 21 tell us how that the angels are ministers of His own. Bless the Lord, you His angels who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all ye hosts, you ministers of His who do His pleasure. And then we have Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 14. I'm not going to read that whole thing, but we'll start on the first part of it where, and you know the story, now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And we get to the part where it says, and behold, the angels of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. I guess we'll do the whole thing. Verse. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. I'm going clear down to verse 14. Sorry. For there was born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who's Christ. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Every Christmas, we read that portion of Scripture. Every Christmas, we try to imagine what that was like to see those angels. It's an amazing thing. The real world interrupts the temporary world that we live in today. Revelation chapter 22, verse 8 and 9. God created His angels to do His bidding. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down and I worshiped before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that. In other words, don't fall down and worship me. For I am your fellow servant and of your brethren and prophets of those who keep the word of this book worship God. The Bible does talk about not worshiping angels. Angels themselves say, don't worship us. We're your fellow servants, servants of God. Angels are incredible, incredible beings. Angels are obedient servants. They have power, but they never use their power for themselves. Their power is always used for God's agenda, under God's instructions. We've seen some incredible things in the Bible that tell us how much power these angels have. The one thing in Frank Peretti's books that, I mean, I liked them, but the one thing I didn't like was in battle that angels could be wounded. I don't think that's true. Because how many angels does it take when Satan is thrown into the bottomless pit? How many angels did it take to do that? One! Right, Harlow, get a star. One angel to take care of Satan. There is no way that angels are ever defeated by the powers of darkness. The reason that the powers of darkness are able to do what they do is because God will let them do just so much. And the angels won't stop them unless God tells them to. So they have some freedom, and they know they have freedom, but the angels are still more powerful. We are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. The Bible tells us that. And we share an inheritance that the angels can't share. You've heard it said before that when we get to heaven, we'll be able to sing songs like Cleansed by the Blood of the Lamb. Angels won't be able to sing that. Redeemed by the Blood of the Lamb. Angels won't be able to sing that. We have a special place in God's heart. Even though the angels are powerful, they are mighty, God has chosen to send His Son Jesus to die for us. That's an amazing thing. And not only are angels servants of God, angels are ministers to believers as well. I think I'm going to go back here just a second and look at some of these scriptures that talk about our inheritance. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Normally, I read out of my Bible, but Harlow's doing such a good job. And if children, then heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs, talking about us, with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. The key there is we are heirs of God. That's something that the angels don't have the privilege to be. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 7. I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know, but it's always nice to see, to review. To remind us of how much God loves us. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then heir of God through Christ. That is our position. The Bible does not say that about the angels. I'm assuming this is 1 Peter 2:9. I didn't put whether it was first or second. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. All things. Now we're talking about how awesome and how great that angels are. But we have to keep in perspective the fact that God has chosen us for something special. And the angels are not only obedient servants to Him, but they also minister to believers. Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Now, obviously, this is a prophetic verse talking about Jesus, talking about what they'll do for Jesus. But it also applies to us. God has given angels to be in charge over us. I was talking about in Clarkfield a little bit. Wouldn't it be nice if I could say a prayer or we could say a prayer and we would be able to see the angels that are around us just for a little bit, just for a moment even. And we get the feeling that the air in this room is vacant. But we know, according to the Bible, where two or three gathered together, there I am in their midst. The Lord is here. And I think a lot of people sense that when they come through the doors. They've said it. I can feel the presence of the Lord here. And part of that is the presence of the holy angels. Because the Lord assigns angels to watch over us. They come to church too. The place is kind of crowded, I suppose, in the balcony, you think? Daniel chapter 6 and verse 22. Remember this story? This is an amazing story to think about. When Daniel was cast into the lion's den because he was being righteous, because he was praying and he would not quit praying, my God sent his angels. This is when the king says, Daniel, Daniel. You know, the guy's in with hungry lions all night long. And Daniel answers, my God has sent angels and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Whoa. Talk about a trip. First, you're in the lion's den, and then you're, obviously, he could see the angels. So you're with lions and angels. That'd make a good title for a book. Walking with Lions and Angels. Huh? That would be a good title to a book. That's the power of God. Daniel slept with the lions. I'm thinking he probably used one of them for a pillow. Don't you? The lions were kitty cats. Speaking of kitty cats, if anybody needs any, I've got some. Okay. So he shut the lion's mouth. The angels, try to extract that out. Daniel, in the lion's den, the angels are there. The lions are tame until Daniel's out, and then they throw the men that tried to destroy Daniel in there and said that they tore him apart before they even hit the floor of the pit. Try to extract that out into your own life. What are the possibilities? And why are angels around us? Why do angels watch over us? Because God sent them. And why did God send them? Because God loves us. He has a vested interest in us. Because we are His children. How many would do just about anything to protect your kids? Now think about that. I mean, you may not even like your spouse very much. Just kidding. But you're going to protect your kids with your life. God's better dad than any of us. He's going to watch over his kids. Acts chapter 12, verse 5 through 11. Think of this one. Try to apply this one to something in your life. Remember when Paul was put into prison? Acts chapter 12, verse 5 through 11. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping. Okay, let's see the obstacles here. First, he's sleeping. How could you do that? He must have had some peace of God, right? He was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers. How many think that might be an obstacle? You feel like, you know, some weeks you feel like that? You feel like you're bound with two chains between two soldiers, just a bad week? Anyway, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood before him. The light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And the chains fell off his hands, and the angel said to him, "Gird yourself, tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garments and follow me." So he went out and he followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. How many of you would think you were dreaming? And when they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate. He's a little slow here. Came to the iron gate that leads to the city, and which opened to them of its own accord. How many think it actually opened of its own accord? I think it opened because there was angels opening it, right? It could, I suppose. God could make that happen. And they went out and went down the street, and immediately the angel disappeared from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the Jewish people." God is good. That must have been really frustrating for them. I mean, they had him tucked away, locked up, chained behind guards, locked gates, and he just walked right out because of the angels. What are the possibilities in your life? And why am I bringing this up? Why am I reminding you about the angels? Because sometimes I think we get the feeling that we are alone and there's no help sometimes. We have to try to figure things out on our own, that impossible situations are truly impossible. Wasn't he in an impossible situation? He was, but not for God. Not for God when he sends his angels. All right, this is one of my favorite ones in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Remember about us being heirs and stuff? "But to which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool?'" And he's talking about Christ. He's trying to distinguish that Jesus was the Christ. "Are they not all ministering spirits?" Talking about angels. "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" Who's that? Christians. People that have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You become his heir, and he then has a vested interest in you. You know, you see these famous people running around, they always have either Secret Service, "The eagle has flown the coop," you know. You see the or bodyguards following them around to protect them because people want to do harm to them. Well, we've got the devil, we've got demons, we've got people that are demonized, we've got just plain evil people. There's all kinds of things that are hazards to Christians in this world. But what we don't know is God has got our back. I think as I was growing up, I can think of several times, and I've been here 19 years. You've heard all my stories. I'm not going to tell them again. But when I know an angel had intervened at some point in my life that was just too supernatural, saved my life, really. That's a weird feeling to think an angel just saved my life. They do that. They can do that. I'm sure all of you can think of a situation or circumstance in your life when you think, "Whoa, that was strange." I don't know if any of you remember Harold Hill. He was a preacher back a few years ago and wrote books. I can't even remember the name of his books, but he was going somewhere to preach. And he's praying, Lord, I need some fresh material. I need something fresh to preach about. I need something fresh to give to the people from you. And he said a car came across the medium on the interstate and launched into the air and went over the top of his car and landed on the other side of him. He said, I got my fresh material. He said, according to him, he couldn't figure out how that would possibly happen, that it would go over his car. But he knew it was God's intervention saving him. The reason I tell you that is because, I tell you these things is because it's all because of God's love. It's all because he cares about you. It's all because he has a vested interest in you. I mean, he didn't send Jesus to die on the cross just for fun. It wasn't fun for Jesus, but he was willing to do it. And in the whole process, you become part of God's family. You're one of his children. And he cares a lot about that. He doesn't take that lightly at all. So one of the things he's done is send the angels. Next week we're going to be talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life again. And how he also, matter of fact, the title of that message is Your Best Friend. Holy Spirit's even a better friend than the angels. But the angels do what God wants them to do, and they minister to us. Remember Elijah? Elijah killed 400 prophets of Baal. Wow. Fire came down from heaven. It's an amazing thing. Then Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you, boy. Why would he even be afraid of her? But he was. So he ran like 40 miles or something like that. Totally tired out. Lord sent angels to minister to him. Several times in the Bible it talks about how the Lord sent angels to minister. Just a reminder. By the way, angels are holy. Probably wouldn't be a good idea to go somewhere where they can't go. You know what I mean? Think about it. Let's pray. Have everybody bow their heads and close their eyes this morning. I'm just going to ask you a couple things, and then we'll pray. Perhaps this morning there's someone here that has really never made a commitment to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This summer we've had a couple weddings already here this last few months. We have one coming up in a couple weeks. It's when they stand together and they make a vow to be true to each other. It's an important thing. It's a wedding. You pledge your life to that other person. It's no different, really, than when you give your life to Christ. That's what it's like. He's not just an angel following you around. The relationship with Jesus is a commitment to him. He's already made that commitment to you. He's already died on the cross and made the offer to you. He's already proposed the relationship. All you have to do is say, I do. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Ask him to come into your life and become not just your Savior, but your Lord as well. And you then be committed to him. If you've never made that commitment to Christ, it's a very easy thing to do. and you like prayer, just slip your hand up. Say, Pastor, I'd like to make that kind of commitment. I've never done that before. Slip your hand up. I'll see it, and then you can put it down again. Okay, if you've made that commitment, and perhaps, and at some point you've backslidden, you've kind of slid away from what God, what you know God wants you to be, where He wants you to be, and you really need to rededicate your life to the Lord. If that's you this morning, slip your hand up and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I need some refreshing. It's kind of like when you push a little button on your computer and it kind of refreshes that page. You need that in your life. Anyone? Last thing, perhaps there's someone here to say, I have felt alone and abandoned, and I just, some reason, I just couldn't think that God would love me that much to send angels to be around me, to watch over me, to minister to me. If that's you this morning, just say, Pastor, I just want to be more cognitive. I want to be more aware of God's love and presence in my life. If that's you, just slip your hand up. I see that hand. You can put it down. See that hand. Lord, I just thank you. For those who lifted their hand, I pray, Lord, that you would just bless them with a special visitation of your presence, your love. Help them to see and to know. Maybe not with their eyes, but with their knowing, with their spirit. Lord, help them to know that you are there. That you never leave them or forsake them, and that you are actively working to bring to fruition your plan in their life, and your plan is the best plan. We just thank you, Lord, for your love, and thank you that you've sent the angels to minister to us. We know it means that you love us, among all the other things that you've done for us. We just pray it in Jesus' name. Right. Somebody's going to do some announcements and a closing hymn. Thanks, Harlow.
Okay, turn with me, if you would, to page 16. I think we'll do the announcements at the end. Not that there's not very many. But page 16, blessed be the name of the Lord. And if we could have somebody do the overhead thing, that'd be great. Somebody can scoot over there. Thanks, John. We're just going to sing two verses. We're going to sing verse 1 and verse 3. So, starting with 1. All praise to Him who reigns above in majesty. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. I sing verse 3, Redeemer, Savior. You guys got that one? Yeah, that you guys, Danielle, thanks.
Redeemer, Savior, friend of man, once ruined by the fall, Thou hast devised salvation's plan, for Thou hast died for all.
Here we go!
Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.